How's it going, everybody? Tuesday morning edition, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Jensen and Reese here with you talking fantasy and DFS and gambling and the whole bit. And Robbie, welcome back. Eager to get your thoughts on how things have transpired, especially for these Colorado Avalanche here, right? 2-0 series haul right off the bat.
What's up, Pete? What's up, Bob? Good to be with you guys this morning. And I have to be honest, coming into this series, I had the Avs. I thought that this looked like the team that had the momentum to go all the way. But when we saw Grubauer go down, what it was like 3 minutes in the game one, I think that's where the feeling just left that team. And it's hard to put it into words. It's hard to put exactly why that mattered so much, because Francois was great during the regular season. But Pete, I remember we said on the program a few weeks ago, I don't think this team can sustain that second injury wave, not in this format.
Right. And they were actually, we talk about how they can overcome adversity, or if you're rooting for them, you hope that they can. They did that in the regular season. They had like five or six key injuries to star players, key secondary players, including Grubauer in the regular season, like you mentioned. But this is a different, you know, environment in the bubble. It's been harder for teams. We just have to say that flat out. It's been harder for teams to overcome series deficits. In previous years, you see 0-2 holes, you know, 3-1 series holes. You see game sevens. We haven't seen those things. We saw one example where the Blues came back from 2-0 down and were chasing the whole series and ended up losing anyway in six. So, yeah, it's going to be tough for the Avalanche here. And you talked about how that was demoralizing when Grubauer went down. Talk about doubling the, you know, how depressing that was for the franchise yesterday, you know, going up 2-0 in the game, giving up two goals, then having like the wackiest bounce in the world go in. The fourth goal was reviewed. It went against you. It was like everything was working against them during that run.
Well, I have to clarify. I think it was in the second period of game one that Grubauer went down to. I think, if memory serves me, every day I feel like I'm kind of watching the same thing almost. But yeah. It's something, Pete, that I think you mentioned it before the show started with Dallas. They're scoring some scrappy goals. They're not going to blow you away with the toe drags. Like the MacKinnon Rantanen goal was ridiculous for the Avs, right? And you're thinking, like, when they score a goal like that, this team is like, this is unbelievable chemistry-wise. But then Dallas, they just keep grinding. They keep pushing. And they don't even have a high shooting percentage. They're right in the middle of the pack for the whole playoffs. So it's not like they're just putting pucks in off balances. They're just grinding and getting it done.
And one thing I noticed, and you don't have to be an expert to notice this, it was mentioned on the broadcast from Pierre and Eddie O, just the active sticks from the Dallas Stars, especially when the Avs are on the power play, just getting the sticks in lanes and pucks deflecting. And I did feel as if the Avalanche were getting a little too cute with the passing, especially with those active sticks of the Dallas Stars. And it started to mount as the game went on the power play, where pucks were getting deflected, frustration was coming out. And really, it's difficult to play that sort of game against a team with active sticks and veterans and grinding. It's difficult to play the flashy, dancy game that the Avalanche like to play.
Now, Pete, going off what Bob said about the veterans, because Dallas has a lot of them, right? Maybe a little bit older than the average team in the postseason format. Do you think that gives Colorado an against-the-grain play here to come back in the series? Or do you think the Eric Johnson, the Grubauer injury might be too much for that team?
I mean, the Eric Johnson one is more significant. We were talking about it yesterday, but they got off to a good start in this game. They just can't play. They can't play loose. They have to, you know, they have to grind, like you said. Like, they have to grind like they haven't played like that, you know, in months, really, because it's been a cakewalk for them. They played round robin games, and then they had the easiest matchup of any team in the first round. Let's be honest, against the Coyotes, they had that one tough game where the bounces didn't go their way, and then they dropped two touchdowns to finish the series. So, I mean, Colorado has to start playing a little different style here, and Johnson is one of those guys that they'll need to do that. So hopefully for their sake, he comes back at some point in this series. But yeah, and also like all the scoring's going through MacKinnon right now. Can somebody step up on the other line? I know Kadri stepped up in the playoffs, but we need it at even strength, right? Not just on the power play one where it's easy for everybody.
This Dallas team kind of does remind me of the Blues from last year, where they just have all these pieces contributing. It doesn't really matter if it's the star player or not. They kind of have everyone working harmoniously, which is something that I don't think I would have predicted at all. You guys would have piled on me, thought I was crazy if I would have said that was going to be the case for them in this postseason. So I think when you look at this Dallas team, they certainly have the edge. Of course, I'm never going to sit here on this program and count a team with Nathan MacKinnon, the best player in fantasy hockey in the playoffs, out.
They could easily come back. It's 2-0. I'll say this. I did not expect the Dallas Stars to be in this position with Ben Bishop not being in net. I just thought their success would be contingent on Ben Bishop being healthy, something that he rarely is. But I thought he'd have to be healthy and playing well for the Dallas Stars to continue to progress and to even be up in a scenario against the Avs 2-0.
That's a great point, Bob, because remember at the beginning, before the game started or restarted, we were labeling Dallas as one of the best value teams. They were the best value to win the cup among the round robin teams, fair and square. So, and we had high expectations for Dallas. We just knew that they would eventually collide with a team like Vegas or Colorado or St. Louis, and that it would be a tough matchup for them, even with Ben Bishop. So, you know, it's surprising to an extent in a good way. But another thing, like, Dallas overcame, they are actually one of the only teams that overcame series deficits multiple to win a series this postseason. They did that against Calgary. They were down 1-0, and then they were down 2-1 after they got shut out. But, like, they raised the bar, and they had that intensity. They grinded. They scored some key goals throughout the lineup, and that's where they are today. They deserve to be where they are.
The last thing that needs to be said here, this is a major problem for the Avalanche because they can only play the high skill way. They can't grind the game down. Dallas had 60 hits in the game last night. Every time they were on the ice, they were throwing the body around. It's a heavy team. They might be a little slower than the Avalanche, but we've seen it in the East too, Pete. When you have a team that's willing to pay the physical toll, like the New York Islanders, like the Dallas Stars, those teams are always going to have the upper hand. I don't care what the format is. Against teams in the playoffs that are reluctant to do that, against the teams in the playoffs that are relying on those two-on-ones, those breakaways, those high-skilled plays, those aren't the teams that end up winning the cup.
Before we get to the Islanders, the last two things I want to say about the Dallas Stars. One, I'll tip my cap to Corey Perry, who I said earlier was playing like a 57-year-old. He looks pretty fresh and spry out there. In fact, his hacking and whacking led to the penalty that started the goal scoring for the Dallas Stars and sort of turned the game. And then another guy I want to give credit to behind the bench, who I thought was, you know, this guy I thought was toast, but he looks like he's in control, Rick Bonus. Let's give him a little, you know, tip of the cap, because this guy's been around the league, you know, five times over, and he's finally getting an opportunity here. And it looks like he's in charge and he's calm. And you know what? I just wanted to give those two dinosaurs some credit here.
And hey, whether it was Montgomery or Bonus now, I mean, they put like Alexander Radulov through the rigors in the regular season with playing him on the third line, playing him on the second power play, not playing him as much with Ben and Sagan. And now it's like they're unleashing him at the right time. And that's a strategy we look at every single year, right? That happens. There's always one team that really underachieves in the regular season. Dallas's scoring defense has been amazing. I don't think there's been a better team out there with these guys chipping in, as a Lindell scored last night. Haskinen has points every single game pretty much. And Klingberg as well. So like when you look at how they go from the back end out, and then also how they're starting to utilize these players with everything that went on in the regular season in mind, they're learning from those mistakes and those negatives. That's why they're really turning it around for the better at the right time.
Now for the Islanders, I think it's interesting here because they have the best matchup possible in the Eastern Conference against the Flyers, who I thought from day one, totally overrated. However, it's only one game, okay? We can't overreact to it. The Islanders could still go into that shell like they did in the regular season where they lost however many in a row. Okay, the same thing can be said about the Flyers, where it could be done for them too. These are two streaky teams going head-to-head. This should be an interesting series. I just worry, Pete, that the coaching of Barry Trotz is so much better than anybody else. Forget Alain Vigneault. Forget just putting him against anybody else. They lead the NHL in dump-ins in the postseason. It's not going to blow you out of your seat. You're not going to get jazzed up, get another cocktail, watch the game. You're not going to enjoy it like that. Okay, but this style is impossible to play against. And I think Philadelphia is just not the team that can trade like that. If they get out to a 1-0 lead, the Islanders, they are winning 90% of the time.
I feel the same way. I feel like I was watching that game yesterday. They scored the first goal early in the first period. And I was like, the more I watched, this goal is going to stand. Like, they're going to win. They're going to win this game. And the goal is probably going to stand because of the style they play. Now, the possession numbers have been much better than previous years for the Islanders. I mean, I think, like, when you look at the coaching edge, yeah, for sure. He's the best coach in the league, hands down. And, of course, we've been saying that for a few weeks and really all season. But, like, the way that he has that team, which is now fully healthy. Remember, the worst stretches of the season for the Islanders were when Pelech was out and Boychuk was out and some forwards here and there were out, Cizikas. Players like that, like they have like the full onslaught right now, and he has absolutely mastered this system. I mean, he knew how to implement it, but the players have mastered it as well under Trotz. It's amazing.
Petey, were you a little nervous when Pelech went to the bench there, considering how the Islanders played when Pelech was injured, and you see him skating over to the bench injured? I said, oh boy, this could be a problem. But then he was out there in the next penalty kill, so you know. Disaster averted.
Yeah, definitely dodged a bullet there. But it's amazing, too, like what Johnny Boychuk hasn't even been playing in recent games. He's the odd man out in the lineup. They also have, like, Noah Dobson. Like, they have a really deep defense. Even if – and that's, like, all these teams. Like, how far can they go with an injury or two? The Islanders actually can go pretty far here, and it looks like they're off to a really good start here to get to the conference final. It is a favorable draw for them against the Flyers, no doubt. Avoiding Boston or Tampa, right? That's amazing.
And the Flyers struggled mightily against Montreal, who had no business being here, okay? So that's where I raised the red flag. I'm not trying to pile on the Flyers at all, okay? They deserve to be here now for sure. I just think that this team in the Islanders, Pete, this is going to be a situation where they do get through Philadelphia. I'm confident about that. But then they're going to get a very rude awakening against Tampa or Boston, and that team is going to sweep the Islanders. So, again, enjoy the hockey while it lasts, okay? Enjoy talking about That's Barry true. Trotz and everything like that. But when you're going to play Boston, you're going to play Tampa. As long as they're playing like they want to be here, they're going to win that series.
And can I give a shout-out? We haven't heard from him in a long time, actually, and I'm thinking about him. As Varlamov looks incredible in between the pipes, our boy Brett, who's all over Varlamov and loves Varlamov. But let's give a tip cap to Brett and also Varlamov, who's been great.
Right. Forget about the Vezina trophy. Varley wants the cup here. He's playing the best hockey of his career. He's got a shutout streak of like 136 minutes and two straight games. I mean, this guy is – we were talking about Sorokin being like coming in next year and being like maybe the surefire starter. I mean, this is going to be really fun because those guys know each other. They're going to work together, and the Islanders have a great thing going here that's going to definitely carry over to next year.
And they're going to be one of the best teams in the Metro for as long as Trotz is behind the bench. I don't care who's in the forward group, none of that. It's all about Trotz. Now, I do want to shift gears here and talk about Tampa-Boston. This is a really hard series for me to put commentary on, I think, because every game could go a different direction. I don't know, Pete. I just want to turn to you guys and get your thoughts on the first game so far in the series. Like, are you seeing anything that would give one team an edge here in the full seven-game series?
Not necessarily in the full seven-game series. Definitely still a toss-up. I do think that the way the game ended for Tampa Bay, making a real push, it was one of those things, like, even if, you know, if it was another minute or two longer, Tampa may have very well tied that game. So look for that to carry over to game two. I think, you know, obviously where you have guys like Hedman getting in on the scoring and Vasilevsky pretty strong in the postseason overall. And this team has overcome deficits in different games and played different styles. Power play still not really working for Tampa, but I do expect them to win game two. We were talking about it a little bit on the previous show, but the more I think about it, this has to be a counterpunch here from Tampa Bay.
I agree wholeheartedly. I still like Tampa Bay to win this series, Pete. I think they just have that extra offense that they can find. Even without Stamkos in the lineup, they seem to have that depth that Boston, as we know, is very susceptible to losing at any given moment. That's why I think in a seven-game series, you still have to give the edge to Tampa. The only reason, Bob, I have trouble really can, like, if I would bet, if I were to put any money on this series, which I would not, I would have a hard time putting money on Tampa Bay right now to come back, because this format is one of those interesting deciding factors here when you are betting, when you are taking over-unders. For example, Dallas. Dallas was under every single game, basically, until this format, which is ridiculous. So now when you're looking at a team to come back, I just don't think I would take that, even though I think Tampa's going to win.
Yeah, I think Tampa's going to win tonight. I don't know how I feel about the entire series, especially with Stamkos being out. And really, I just want to see the power play score a goal. I mean, I think Pete said it pretty well yesterday. You're going to have to match Boston on the power play a little bit. Maybe not match them goal for goal, but you're going to have to produce on the power play. And they just haven't shown any of that thus far. I do like Tampa a lot tonight, just off of the fact they played pretty well down the stretch of game one. I thought they didn't come out to play correctly in the first period of last game. I like Tampa at a very fair price, -110. But you have to remember, that's a coin flip game. Anything could happen. You know, they're not favorite. They're not really the underdog. You're just basically taking Tampa because you know that this is the series. They're playing for their season right now. If they fall down 2-0 against Boston, it's likely over.
Yeah, it would be over. And for that sake, you hope that Tampa Bay can put it together here. And, you know, Kucherov and Point have been a big driving force behind that offense. Obviously, like you talked about, their depth scoring, they get it on certain days from Killorn, and guys like Killorn, Sorelli, you know, even further down the lineup with Gord and Coleman and some of the defensemen. But like, their chances, like, not only do they have to match Boston on the power play one, they have to match them at even strength with Point and Kucherov getting as much production as they did in the Columbus series. Without that production from them in the Columbus series, they might have lost the series in five. That's how, you know, how much that flipped the script.
And for Jaro Halak, too, being the outright starter here, he doesn't really have bad playoff series. When you go back to 2015, I think it was his last complete series played against the Caps. I mean, the Islanders lost that series, but he had a .926 save percentage, which could be leading the league in the postseason at that time, right? So I think when you look at Halak, I mean, it's going to be hard for him to have a bad game unless Tampa really, really turns it on to that next level and Stamkos comes back. I don't think you're going to see a blowout in any of these games.
That's what I'm afraid of. If I'm backing Tampa, it's Halak. He's been locked in. He's been good. And really, the chances that Tampa had in game one, they weren't clear-cut danger chances. You know, it was a lot of pucks on net, a lot of, you know, rebounds, things like that. Halak's been playing great. I'd be worried about that if I backed Tampa tonight, would be Halak locking it down and shutting Tampa down.
And five out of their six times meeting this season were one goal games. So, like, I think the writing's on the wall for that. I don't know, Pete. I do like this Tampa team a lot. I know Boston's played phenomenal. Their second line's been tremendous in the postseason, which is exactly what they need to win the cup. But are you seeing one thing for Tampa here that suggests that they can keep this style of play going, a lot of heavy chances, good scoring chances, without Stamkos? Or do you think they need him to come back to really go to that next level?
They might need him to come back against Boston, to be honest, the more I think about it. Like, the way Tampa's playing, it's going to keep them in each and every game, like we said. But to actually get over the top in any given game, it's going to be a hurdle. I mean, like, if they say they fall behind 1-0 in early on in game number two, I'm worried about them. I don't know. I guess technically they could come back based on what they did in the series against Columbus, but like, it's getting to that point, kind of like with Colorado. Once they lost the lead yesterday, you knew it was over. And then, of course, they went like 2-for-8 on the power play with the two goals coming early on the power play. But like, that's the type of trend that we're seeing here, not only in the length of the series, but when the trailing team falls behind early, it's like, it feels like it's over more so than previous years. I don't know why.
100%. And I kind of feel that way about Vegas, Vancouver too, but not that would be surprising to anybody. I mean, Vegas should roll through this series with ease. I mean, dropping five in game one, like, that's going to be hard to come back for. I don't care how good your offense is. But the thing with Vegas that's so intriguing this year, and that's why I think they're going to win the cup, they have the physicality, they have the heavy bodies, and they also have the light scoring touch too, Pete. It's like the absolute perfect storm for that team, and they have two goalies that can play. I mean, that is the team that you should be modeling after right now in this postseason format.
They have the perfect roster. They have they can survive an injury in net. They could survive an injury to the forward group, like we saw from them in the round robin, right? They won the round robin without Pacioretty. So they got guys that could fill in. You know, we keep talking about Alex Tuck, but the guy's a beast. He plays so well. He's not playing on power play one. He's not playing in the top six, but it doesn't matter. I mean, they have so many guys that they could plug and play. It's such a great situation to be in, to be Vegas. We both liked them from the beginning of the playoffs. I know you had them in your cup final from the beginning of the season. So it was a team that we really liked all along. They're molding it into perfect form here. And as the Avs are having trouble on their end of the bracket, Vegas is just licking their chops because they want to get back to the cup final. And they have a ton of motivation too. We forget about that sometimes, blowing the lead last year to the Sharks and then getting to the final the previous year. It's a team that has only been around for the third year here, but a ton of motivation and a ton of scoring depth and everything across the board.
It's hard to believe that Vegas in a second round game is -220 favorites, Vancouver +184. This is a second round playoff game. This is what I'll say about this. You know what? This is could just be a play on the price. I don't know if Vancouver can win the game, but it still is a hockey game. I mean, a bounce here and a bounce there. +184 in a second-round playoff game, you know, put a little shekel on Vancouver and root for the underdog. You know, more times than not, Vegas will win the game. But remember, it's a hockey game, folks.
Yeah, if you're looking at this as a game-by-game scenario, I do see appeal in the Canucks. I think Travis Green deserves a boatload of credit for how he's had that team play in the postseason, how quickly he got them to find chemistry, to find scoring, to find defense even. The only issue I do see on a game-to-game basis here, though, Bob, is Markstrom. I mean, if he has one bad game, he can't bail them out every time. And against Vegas, that's going to be a really hard thing to do. That's the one team you can't – it don't care who's in net. You can't bail a team out against a team like the Knights.
Yeah, he was under assault in game one. I mean, Vegas is just so loaded with so many players and so many right players. I mean, I said it yesterday, the team is built to win a Stanley Cup. They're all running on all six cylinders. They're flying towards one goal together. They're playing together. So, yeah, Markstrom is going to be under assault again tonight, and he's going to have to bail out Vancouver for Vancouver to have a chance to win the game.
And another guy, I mean, we haven't even talked about, like, say, Paul Stastny this whole past couple of weeks. I mean, he was out for a little while, but he's back. I mean, that just gives them another dimension. I mean, Paul Stastny has been one of the better playoff performers over the past decade in the entire league. So,
well, speak for
yourself.
That's
just a guy you're not even talking about right now.
No,
it's just another layer to that team.
Speak for yourself, Pete. I had a long, lengthy conversation about Paul Stastny with my wife-to-be, in fact. We talked about Paul Stastny over a nice filet mignon dinner last night. He was the topic of conversation.
Wow.
So I guess somebody is talking about him. But anyway, he's a guy that he's not playing with Pacioretty and Stone anymore as of the regular season, and not so much here in the playoffs, but did last year. That's a line they can always go back to if they're ever trailing a series, you know, maybe in the cup final or the conference final. But, you know, I agree with what you're saying, though, compared to other sports. Like, I know, like, in the NBA, the Lakers dropped game one, and then everybody was like, the odds are still so, like, bloated, you know, in other sports, especially in a series like that. But, like, you can take advantage of that here for Vancouver. Vancouver can definitely win a game in this series, and it could come in game two. I mean, a 5-0 game, it stops and ends there. There's some appeal in the Canucks for sure tonight.
Look, I'm the biggest Canucks guy on the show here, okay? only person, I think, in NHL.com that had them even in the playoffs. Don't put anything on Vancouver in this series. I don't care what game it is, what's going on. Please get out of the way of the Vegas train. Credit to Pete DeBoer, by the way, for kind of taking that goalie controversy, in quotes, and letting Marc-Andre speak for himself, squashing that and moving on. Like, that's a class organization through and through. What could have been a derailing moment for them, nope, not even close to it. So that's why I want nothing to do with the Canucks in this series. I don't want anything to do with them in game two. I'm all in on Vegas. Please take the safe pick there.
Right. The things they need to avoid are injuries and any unnecessary drama. So that was averted for sure with the Fleury situation with his agent, and injuries so far have not been a problem for Vegas. So that's really good to see.
And Vegas still has another room. They have room to improve offensively as well, Pete. I mean, they're very opportunistic and scoring on pretty much every breakaway they get. Like, Tuck is 100% when this guy has the clear lane to the net. He can't miss. But I still think they have other guys that can get going and flourish. Like, I really do. I think Mark Stone leading the team in goals. I mean, it could easily be Pacioretty now that he's been back in the lineup. It could easily be Marshall. So it could easily be Riley Smith. It wouldn't surprise anybody. So that's why I'm saying definitely back off the Canucks. I do like them to win a game in the series. But if I was putting anything hard-earned on that team, I just couldn't get myself to do that.
And those, the secondary and third defensemen for Vegas, they can score too. Nate Schmidt and Alec Martinez. And yeah, you mentioned Riley Smith has been really active, or at least was in game one, in front of the net. So that's a team with two strong power play units. Even if the numbers in previous series don't suggest they were very good on the power play, very, very dangerous in any given game. Two strong lines, three strong lines, two strong power play units, two great goalies. We can talk all day about how much we love Vegas.
I mean, I can give you guys a list of 50 million things that I'd rather do than put money on Vancouver tonight. I mean, I can give you, I can run down the list. And one of those things is have a conversation about Paul Stastny that lasts the entire night. But I'm not saying it's going to be a fun adventure, a fun wager on Vancouver. But I will say that, you know what? It is a hockey game, and Vancouver is probably going to win a game. It could be tonight. The value is never going to be better at plus 184. And you know what? Just do it. Maybe don't even watch the game. Do it. Turn it off and do something else. But the value is certainly there.
I'd love to provide the listeners value, Bob, but I'm not going to do that. I think it's the wrong move tonight. And I'd rather join in your conversation about Stastny all night long than put anything on the Canucks tonight. Like, that's a good team. You know I like the Canucks a lot.
I know.
I cannot stand here and recommend that to anybody tonight. I can't do it.
Okay, so tonight, it seems like if you're putting a wager on one of these games, I think we're in agreement that it would be Tampa. Are we on board with that? We're going to have a consensus here, which means it's basically like the kiss of death.
Yes, it is the kiss of death. Parlay Tampa and Vegas, and they're going to go 0-2 for sure.
And the Vegas, I'll go back to the well with the over in the Vegas-Vancouver game. I don't expect it to be another shutout here. I expect Vancouver to score two or three goals, including one on the power play. They only got, you know, one power play opportunity in game number one. So expect Vegas to match them, maybe like a 4-3 game. So take the over in that game. I really like that strategy. It barely missed in game one, and that was because it was a shutout. Expect it to hit in game two.
And I just have to say one thing, too, about Vegas goalies. The only thing I can really see derailing this team, Bob, and I don't think it would matter over a seven-game series, but game to game, if Lehner does fault tonight, he lets in a couple bad goals, that's when the controversy in the room starts back up, mm-hmm. and they feel pressure to go back to Fleury, and then Fleury hasn't been playing well all season. So that's the only scenario in which I see Vegas. I don't think it would cost them the series because they have a good offense and good defense, as Pete alluded to. But that's the one area where you could make some money on this team in a strange format like this.
Well, I could see that happening down the line. I mean, we talked about it where Fleury might have to chip in, or Lehner, you know, has some struggles. Makes the story more fascinating, you know, after what happened over the weekend with the agent posting the picture. We'll see what happens. I think they're going to need Fleury and Lehner to be performing to win a Stanley Cup. And then I just want to give a shout out to @YankeesVP20 on Twitter, who found the time last night to give me a hard time about my Islanders over pick over five. The only thing I'll say about that pick is that if Carter Hart, or excuse me, Varlamov, both of them, quite frankly, weren't phenomenal, that game easily would have went over. Easily. It was four goals. The total was five. So @YankeesVP20, I appreciate you giving me the tweet, but let's just be fair here. The goalies were tremendous last night, and that's why the over didn't hit.
They were, for sure. I was watching highlights a couple times this morning of that Carter Hart save on Brock Nelson, who's playing like a monster right now, by the way. Brock Nelson and, you know, Pageau scored again. So the Islanders' center depth continues to provide so much value to that team during their deep run. It's like the second and third lines of the Islanders have a chance to outscore those top players on the Flyers, right? I saw something that all five of their top scorers in goals for the regular season have combined for one goal in 10 postseason games. What is that about? Is that going to end soon, Robbie?
I'm not, like I said, against Barry Trotz, I'm not touching the Flyers. No chance. They struggled against the Canadians, Pete. So, okay.
They got outscored in the series.
I'm not even entertaining this dialogue right now. There's no way I'm going to try and pull out some stats and make a case for the Flyers to find their top guns again. I can't do it. And Pete, this is honestly, it's been going on before this postseason too. Those guys have been so up and down the last year and a half. You cannot. It doesn't matter who you are. You cannot rely on those guys to get it done anymore. It's going to have to be the Konechnys, the second and third tier guys now on that team. Those guys are rising up, which is good for the long haul for the Flyers, but it is bad in the short term for the Flyers.
So of all the teams that have lost the first game, or in Dallas and Colorado's cases, two games, who do you like the best to come back and win the series? Out of Philly, Tampa Bay, Colorado, I mean, you know.
Well, Tampa for sure, because they're only in a 1-0 hole. Obviously, this conversation could change tomorrow, right? But for me, it is Colorado. I'm gonna exclude just the team that's down just by one game. I'm going to go Colorado. I still believe in this team. They found a way to get it done every year. And just from a fan perspective here, forget working for the league and all that, I want to see some Game 7s. And I want to see Nate MacKinnon in a Game 7, like when they played against the Wild a few years ago. Like, we need that. We absolutely, in this format, without fans, we need that electricity. You're going to feel it through your TV set. So that's what I want to see, Pete. That's more of a maybe fan bias thing here. But I do think Colorado has a shot at coming back, and we all deserve Nate MacKinnon in Game 7.
Yeah, I mean, it's Tampa or Colorado. I could see Colorado coming back just based off of the talent that they have. I mean, they have world-class talent, no doubt about it. If we go this entire playoff run without a Game 7, I mean, which would be a total outlier and would be completely based off of the fact that we're playing in this bubble environment, that would not be good for the league. So hopefully we get a couple Game 7s. And I wanted one between the Flyers and the Canadians, and we didn't get it. I was really rooting for a Game 7 in that series. But yes, I hope we get a couple Game 7s. It would be great to see a Dallas-Colorado Game 7, a Tampa-Boston Game 7 for sure.
I kind of like where you're going with that, Robbie. I do think the Avalanche are not done yet, and you know, everybody would love to see a Game 7 in that series, except for Dallas. I mean, I don't think Dallas would want any business of that game because they probably wouldn't win it, unfortunately, for them. But they're off to a great start. And, yeah, I think the one that I was hoping that would go 7 was St. Louis and Vancouver. We actually didn't get to touch on it. I mean, what a disaster that was, the Game 6, with going back to Binnington and then falling behind 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, and then finally making the goalie change. Davey Satriano was right on the money about Jake Allen. You don't know if he would have won the game, but stuck with Jake Allen there because Binnington just didn't have it, and the team didn't have the resiliency, the heart that it had last year.
Well, it takes the sting off that they're cup champs. I mean, they're still the cup champs, right? That no one's won the cup again yet. So I don't feel bad for the Blues. I don't think Craig Rubio ever thought it. Yeah. I just think you got to tip your cap to Vancouver at Travis Green.
Yeah, they didn't have the horses either. I mean, Tarasenko's out. They had injuries up and down the lineup. I mean, Steen was out. A bunch of other guys were out. Another shout out to the listeners, please, if anyone has a Rick Bonus poster or a Rick Bonus hockey card from back in the day, please send my way. DM me on Twitter at AirChecked. I am in search of a Rick Bonus piece of memorabilia, please. Thank you.
And I'm at NHL Reese. If you need any more Paul Stastny talk, and PD's at NHL Jensen.
Yeah, and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We need some new reviews here. We got the perfect star, 5-star thing going, but let's get some new reviews up there. And thanks for listening, as always.
Yes, let's get the reviews going. And then also, if you're just a piece of advice, if you're on a first date or if you're on one of those Tinder dates or you're meeting up, there's no better topic of conversation than Paul Stastny, okay? If you start talking Paul Stastny, you watch and see what happens. You might be going down the aisle within the next couple of months getting married, because Paul Stastny, if you have that conversation, it's mind-blowing.
that literally that logic only applies to a Las Vegas wedding. So that I would actually love to see that, Bobby. I'd love to hear about that story if it happens.
So Vegas looking good. We'll see if they keep it up. We'll touch base with you later in the week. Good to have Robbie back today. So for Bender, Reese, Jensen, we'll talk to you later in the week. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Appreciate you tuning in.